You've been listening to Gospel and More here on KBOO, Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. We invite you now to stay tuned for Pathways.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل الله عوجا. Praise be to the one Allah who revealed the book to his servant Muhammad and did not make any distortions to it. A'amaduhu subhanahu wa ta'ala wa ashkuruhu huwa al-akhli al-hamdi wa thana. I praise him, that is Allah, the exalted, the one, the most high, and I thank him. It is he, Allah, who deserves the praise and the gratitude. Inna Allaha wa malakatuhu yasa'aluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Lo, Allah and his angels shower blessings on the Prophet Muhammad. O you who believe, ask blessings on him and salute him with a worthy greeting. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa la ala Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa la ala Ibrahim wa barak ala Muhammad wa la ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa la ala Ibrahim fil alameen innaka hamidun majid. O Allah, send your greetings upon Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, inasmuch as you sent your greetings upon the Prophet Ibrahim and the family of Ibrahim. O Allah, send your blessings upon Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, inasmuch as you blessed Ibrahim and the family of Ibrahim. You are the majestic in the entirety of the universe. Inna alhamdulillahi na'abduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. All the praise is for Allah. We seek His help and His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils of our own souls and from our own misdeeds. Whomever Allah guides will never be led astray, and whomever Allah leaves astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah and Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqu Allah haqqa taqatihi wa la tamutuna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in the state of Islam. Ya ayyuha an-nasu ataqu rabbukum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidatin wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan katiran wa nisaa wa taqullaha alladhi tasaluna bihi wa al-hamd inna Allaha kana alaykum raqiban. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person. And from him he created his wife, and from them both he created men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut the relationships of the wombs. Surely Allah is ever a watcher over you. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu wa taqu allaha wa qawlan qawlan sadidan yukhlih lakum amalakum wa yakfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti allaha wa rasulahu faqad fawzan fawzan azim. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him, and speak always the truth. He will direct you to righteous good deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he or she has indeed achieved the greatest achievement. I'm about to, and surely Allah speaks the truth and all the good that follows. Ameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, I give open and sound testimony without shame, hesitation, or reservation that there is none worthy of worship except Allah and Allah alone. And I give open testimony without shame, hesitation, or reservation that Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. I greet you all on this day of Jum'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. By way of introduction, the speaker today is Imam Mikael Shabazz from Portland, Oregon, of the Oregon Islamic Chaplains Organization. And he takes great pleasure and is very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Imam of this masjid for the invitation to address the noble gathering of Jummah prayer. Imam Shabazz greets you again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imam Shabazz has been asked to speak to the subject, big subject, bigger than Imam Shabazz, the benefits of patience and studying life. The benefits of patience and studying life. And of course, that's a subject matter that touches every aspect of our life, patience. And I would like to start with the Quran. And Allah says, but subhanAllah, I will read from the Quran itself. Allah says in the Surah Al-Baqarah, the Haifa or the Hafa, Ayah 154 and 155, do not say to those who are slain in the way of Allah that they are dead. Instead, they are alive, but you do not know. Surely, we will test you with a bit of fear and hunger and loss in wealth and lives and fruits and give good tidings to the patient who, when suffering visits them, they say, we certainly belong to Allah, and to Him we are bound to return. That statement from the Quran is a quintessential foundation for the believers, for the human being, for anyone with a rational mind and an ounce of spiritual development to understand that patience is the substance, the essence of surviving any type of calamity or any type of change or anything that is out of our control. But patience is also the force majeure, if you will, for establishing life, for advancing personal achievements, and for making the progress in life that every human being strives to make. There's the patience that is obligatory, that falls upon us, when we have no say-so in the circumstances that we may be facing. And in order to advance through those circumstances, we say, surely to Allah we belong, and to Allah we return. Or we put ourselves in a state of mind to understand that the control of those circumstances are not in our hands. And these are circumstances that requires us through obligation to exercise patience or sabr, to be patient, to hold oneself in check, to not allow oneself to strike out to extremes, to not allow oneself to become hysterical, over emotional, or reactionary. That is a mandatory patience. Patience also is a patience when we fast, month of Ramadan. These are obligatory times for us, but during this obligatory time, patience takes on that characteristics. And I'll back up just a little bit to say that patience takes on the definition of the circumstances that it faces. You know, sometimes we have to be patient. In fact, all the time we have to be patient in our homes, with our loved ones, with our co-workers, with our fellow citizens. And at that point, we may be around each other, around our loved ones, and they may not share our values. They may not appreciate our values. They may make different choices. They may understand the values, love the values, et cetera, but make different choices. And at that stage, we have the freedom at that point, the freedom, the non-obligatory patience that is required, that will be required for us to survive our circumstances, that non-obligatory patience, but we have to make a choice. And my choice or our choice might be, am I going to be so rigid in what I believe and in what I hold to that I refuse to allow anyone to be in my presence, anyone to be around me, anyone to live in the shared living space that do not support my values, my systems, my belief? And if the answer is no, I'm not going to be like that, but I'm going to take on patience, then at that point, patience takes on the characteristics and it is identified as tolerance. And then tolerance, we're not calling it patience, but we're calling it tolerance, and we're getting the same exact same result. And sometimes that's necessary. A matter of fact, every day it's necessary. No matter where we live and who we're around, circumstances require that we be patient. So we grab life's circumstances. We see the things that are in life that we live every day. Now, if there was an earthquake in San Francisco, like Portland, is prone to earthquakes. Well, that decision whether or not the earth is going to quake is not our decision. But what will we do when that horrific event takes place, or if it takes place? Then we have the opportunity at that time, under mandatory circumstances. We didn't cause the earthquake. We can't control the earthquake. We can't stop the earthquake. We can just participate in what the earthquake does. But what is it left in our control to do? It is in our control to either panic, and there's going to be some panic, unless you're made out of steel, there's going to be some panic in the heart, but that panic will be calmed down. Because shortly after the earth starts to quake, and matter of fact, for the believer, within the first moments, the first thing that's going to come to the mind is Allahu Akbar, that God is in control here. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I know that I'm not in control here, and really I may be upon that station that I'm about to take my last breath, that I might not make it through this one. Oh Allah, my choice is not to panic and turn and start looking for other means to rescue me. My choice is to say, oh Allah, protect me. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us. Oh Allah, make it safe for us. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for help and assistance. And in that moment, our patience is identified in the term what we would call iman or faith. But it's all patience. Patience is an integral part of life. There is no getting through life. Everything that we do in life requires some degree of patience, one way or the other. It takes patience for a community to form itself, to galvanize the resources that are required to sustain itself, to make the plans necessary to advance itself, and then to have those very same plans shot down, snatched away, turned from us, and the opportunity leaves us beyond our ability, beyond our control, beyond all of our planning and all of our thinking. And this is why when we say, as believers, we always say, inshallah. Inshallah. And Allah says what? Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Because Allah, surely, Allah is with the patient. So no matter what the circumstances is, oh yes, the plans have changed. Oh, we had great plans. We were going to go this way. We were going to do that. We've had it all laid out. And all the things that we could do. And all the advice that we received. We still fell short. Well, that falling short is a falling short in the vision of man's mind. But Allah says in the Quran, no one knows what blessings are hidden away from you. Just keep moving. Don't even slow down. Keep moving. Circumstances change. Allah says, you don't know the good and that which appears to be bad. Nor do you know the bad and that which appears to be good. Do the best that you can and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't lose faith. Exercise faith. Exercise consistency. In fact, Allah says, wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihati wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. Surely, you're going to lose. I don't care who you are, you're going to lose unless you have faith. Do good and collectively join together in consistent, agreeable teachings of truth, patience, and constancy. Join together. And Allah again says that He is with the patient. There is no way. Allah says that the believers must win through. The believers must win through. And as believers, as people who believe in Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we travel through life on the wings of patience. We travel through life on the wings of patience. We wait. We hold ourselves in check. Voluntary patience. Voluntary patience. We get up and we make salat. Mandatory patience. The mandatory patience on us to exercise our spiritual disciplines. 5 times a day, Allah has given it to us and given us the parameters. But then offers us, if we can have the patience, which is considered then at that point, patience takes on another name. It takes on the name of discipline. Discipline. If we have the discipline, we do more. We excel more. We reach further than what is the minimum requirement. Now patience has taken on the name discipline. Discipline. When we hold ourselves back from overeating, there's a required time when eating is not allowed. We call it Ramadan, obligatory patience. That's obligatory, obligatory. We have no choice in the matter if we want the reward that is to come, the benefit that is to come, both spiritually and physically and communally. If we want the benefit that is to come from Ramadan, we gather together and we follow the call. When the obligation is made clear to us, the hilal has been seen by us, then we engage in the obligatory. And Allah says that fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may learn self-restraint. So self-restraint is imposed upon us by virtue of the covenant that we have entered into. But there's nothing to say that we cannot exercise that restraint in fasting, in holding back from what we're eating, how we're eating it, how much we're eating. That is called self-restraint. Patience again. Patience again. So patience is something that is it's a quintessential part of our lives. We have no way of getting around it. We can be patient or we can be impatient, but patience shows up. Sometimes we think patience is to wait. Sometimes we could think that. I don't want to say what we think. I don't know what everybody thinks. Sometimes I'm not sure what I'm thinking. Okay? But sometimes we could think that patience means to stand still. Quite the contrary. Patience does not mean to stand still and to just wait and to do nothing. That's called lethargy. You know, that's the opposite of patience. You're just standing still, doing nothing, just kind of waiting around for something to happen. Well, something will happen to you, but not necessarily with you or for you. You know, you keep standing around long enough, something's going to come and move you out the way. Something that has a plan, something that's active, something that's more assertive will just move you out the way. It will. You know, everything needs to be managed, maintained. It all does. So, but patience, dear beloved brothers and sisters, does not require us to stand still. Patience requires us to have a commitment, a faith. Everything in the believer's life is based on niyyah. We make intention for everything that we do. When we eat, we make intention. When we go to sleep, we make intention. We make intentions for everything that we do. Coming to the masjid, make intention. Because in the intention is a reward for the action, whether or not we are able to complete the action. But when we make the intention, we are exercising a degree of patience, because we have to wait from the time we make the declaration until the completion of the exercise, whatever the exercise may be. Whatever it may be, we have to wait. We have to go through the process. Even though it may seem like it's lightning fast, and it may seem like it's mechanical, and sometimes we just assume. It's human nature. We've been doing things so long, we just assume. We don't even give any other possibility to anything other than what we put into our minds. We assume it's going to happen. But we say, inshallah, we make our intention, and we advance. And then we exercise patience to watch it grow. Like a farmer exercises patience. When he or she plants the crop, he or she is expecting the crop to grow. He or she understands that there's a law in place, and that if you do the right thing, if you plant the seeds the right way, if you water the seeds the right way, if you cultivate the land the right way, if the weather cooperates with you, then there's a great possibility and even an expectation that there will be corn on the table by October. You know, there's going to be corn on the table by October. Zucchini is going to come a little bit earlier. Tomatoes all year, you know, because you've done the things that are necessary. But every now and then, he or she plants. Only one gets to eat of the bugs. You know, there's no food. There's no food there. But the farmer don't give up. He or she don't stop and say, well, we'll just turn this over, and inshallah, we'll try again. We'll try again. And begin to understand that there's not always going to be good times. There's not always going to be good times. You know? And there's going to be difficulty sometimes. Huh? And Allah says, surely with difficulty comes ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Surely with difficulty comes ease. So don't look for ease all the time as you're being patient, as you're exercising these qualities and characteristics that are inculcated in patience. Don't look for ease all the time. Expect some difficulty. As a matter of fact, feel left out, feel abandoned, feel like there's something wrong. If you have it easy all the time, then you got to wonder, why have you been left out of the equation? When Allah says, "Inna ma'al usri yusra," with difficulty comes ease, and you get no difficulty, are you really having ease? Are you really having ease? You may not be having the ease that you think you're having. Maybe what you're having is great difficulty. You know, and in our society, money, falus, dineros, you know, yen, bucks, dollars, the bling bling, you know, is important to us. You know, we like to have it. We have to have it. Our society is made up off of transactions. And do you know what our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about his ummah? And we are certainly part of his ummah. We're part of his ummah. No matter where you fall on the pendulum, we are part of the ummah of Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the leader of all leaders. When we mention Prophet Muhammad, we cover all the leaders. We cover everybody. You don't have to say Imam Shabazz. Imam Shabazz is standing in the shadow, somewhere probably in the distant shadow of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, we have leaders. You know, we all have it. We have that. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that his ummah, over whom he is the leader, he said his ummah, not Isa's ummah, not Musa's ummah, but his ummah, he said that our trial, the greatest difficulty for us, for others their trial is next life. For us, he said, our trial this life. Yeah, and you know what it is? Wealth. Wealth, the thing that we all long for, the thing that we all need, the thing that keeps us in this grip, the thing that won't allow us sometimes to even take a breath, the thing that sometimes snatches away our time from our families, the thing that snatches away our time for recreation, the thing that snatches away our time for worship, that very thing that always keeps us chasing it, like we're under a spell. From the day that we're born to the day that we die, we're always on the treadmill trying to get it. And Allah says, get it though. He says, strive hard to build yourself a place in the Dar Akhirah, in the hereafter, but don't forget your share of the dunya. He didn't say it was bad to get it. He said, get it. But get it in the balance. You know, get it in the balance. Have some patience there. And in that state, the patience that we're talking about is restraint. Don't be so doggone greedy and hungry for money that you do anything for it. But the Prophet said that his ummah's challenge would be money, would be wealth. Didn't say money, said wealth. Wealth would be his challenge. And look at the ummah now. Not the San Francisco Muslim Community Center ummah, the humble community, the humble people, the miskeen. I'm from the miskeen. I wear it proudly. I'm among the miskeen. I don't mind being among the miskeen. You know, I mean, you don't have to be, I mean, to not have everything or to be striving and always kind of, you know, on the edge a little bit. That's the way it is. Accept it as it is. Alhamdulillah, keep striving. But he said that would be our challenge. Our challenge would be, our test would be, our trial would be, his ummah's trial would be wealth. And look at the ummah today across the planet. We have great disparities when it comes to wealth that belongs to the ummah. And you have these great disparities so much so that it appears, and I don't want to stand as judge because only Allah can judge. And there's many things that I can talk about, but I really can't see. So it's kind of like hearsay, okay? But it appears to me, and I'm reasonably intelligent, and I thank Allah for that. It appears to me that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam holds more land mass and natural resources, holds massive amounts of wealth across the planet, has tremendous amount of influence on global decision making. So much so that the most sophisticated country in the West, the nation that influences nations, sucks up to the Muslim world that it can't destroy. It either attacks it.
You have been listening to an Islamic point of view here on KBOO 90.7 Portland. We invite you to tune in every Sunday morning here on KBOO for an Islamic point of view. Now we invite you to stay tuned for Pathways.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of KOTO, Beyond Horizons, on Sunday, October 6th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Agnes Flanagan Chapel at Lewis and Clark College in Portland. The KOTO is the national instrument of Japan. At this performance, Oregon Kotokai, a Portland-based Japanese koto ensemble, will feature world-renowned koto virtuoso Kazue Sawoyi. Again, that's Koto, Beyond Horizons, on Sunday, October 6th, from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Agnes Flanagan Chapel at Lewis and Clark College, 0615 Southwest Palatine Hill Road in Portland. More information can be found at
join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Self-learning machines, called AIs for artificial intelligence, are popping up all around us. They're real and they are really important. They affect our lives today as workers, consumers, investors, citizens, patients, and students. AIs bring huge promise, but also existential risk. The biggest risk isn't killer robots, it's the renegade.